Music, through the decorations, it's a reminder that we have come to celebrate, and we certainly do adore the great God whom we serve. Certainly this is one of the favorite seasons of the year, right? It is the Christmas season, and as you look around through the banner and through the other decorations that are represented, we are reminded that we are here to celebrate a baby which was born in a manger, right? And as that song wonderfully said, "Come thou long expected Jesus," right? This was something that people had anticipated. This is something that had been prophesied in the Word of God. And so they had been longing and looking for this day to arrive. In fact, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament in passages such as Isaiah, in which it was prophesied that a baby would be born. In fact, it's Isaiah 7, verse 14, which goes on to say, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." See, this was God's plan. In fact, it was God's redemptive plan because of sin which had entered in the world. And ever since Adam and Eve had sinned, the plan was starting to unfold for there to be a redemptive plan to redeem mankind from their sin. God's plan had been in motion. This prophecy of old is being fulfilled. And we see as this prophecy is being fulfilled that it is going to be fulfilled in Jesus. The plan is further explained in passages such as Matthew 1, verses 20 through 25, in which it's being fulfilled. It goes on to say, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him," referring to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth his firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. See, what had been prophesied was now being fulfilled. There was a problem, and that was sin. And God's redemptive plan was taking place. The fullness of time had come. And in the fullness of time, as Galatians 4 verse 4 says, it was in that time that God sent forth His Son. But not only was this going to be a baby, this is the Son of God, and this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this King would arrive, yes, as a baby, in baby Jesus. He'll be laid in a manger, and we celebrate during this Christmas season the story that unfolds of a baby being placed in the manger, but we're reminded that baby is a King of Kings, a Lord of Lords. And so we see the story unfold, and we see, for example, as we celebrate during this Christmas season, that the shepherds, a lowly type of people in that culture, would be able to see the plan of God unfold as a reminder that God meets us right where we are. Yes, He certainly wants the wealthy and the affluent to come to Him, but He loves all people. And so He will meet people right where they are. And so Luke 2 records this wonderful story of where the shepherds would see a great and wonderful thing that would take place. They would see the star, and so they were blessed to be part of the revelation of this baby who was King. Later, as we know, the wise men would come and worship this young boy, King Jesus. Yet this is only simply the beginning of the redemptive plan of God. You see, as we see that He will later on carry out the Father's will, yes, He comes to the manger, but eventually He's going to go to the cross to fulfill the redemptive plan of the Heavenly Father. The plan of redemption will continue as Jesus went to the cross, as He died, as He was buried, and of course, 3 days later, rose victoriously from the grave. He would remain on earth for 40 days, then He would ascend back to the Father, but the King is coming again. First, He came as a baby boy. Next time He is coming, He is going to come as a conquering King. So let's once again go into Scripture and look at a wonderful passage that lays it all out about this King who is coming. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 13. And in verse 32 through 37, it references this day which is to come. Jesus is coming again. And in Mark 13, verses 32 through 37, it goes on to say, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." Verse 35 goes on to say, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Let us pray. Father, we just come before You this time to continue our worship service. Lord, we have already worshiped You through praise and through prayers and through singing of Your music because we adore You. And now as we come to this portion of the service, we are reminded that we throughout this season, in fact today we're beginning this season of celebration of the birth of a King. But Lord, also may we look and may we act in such a way that brings honor to the King who will return someday to establish His kingdom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we pray, O Father, that You'll continue to receive Your worship. And Lord, as we now further examine this passage, help us, O Lord, to apply it to our lives. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I simply want to point out a few things that we look at that passage and kind of take away from that passage as we look for the coming of the King. Once again, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. First of all, notice that there's an emphasis within our passage that we are to keep waiting. Now, this is not the type of waiting that you and I often think of, right? When I think of waiting, often I think of waiting around. Maybe you're on the porch and you're rocking your chair, right? And you're waiting for someone to come over or waiting for some event to take place. You're just passively waiting. But this is not the idea of waiting in this passage. See, this concept of waiting is not a passive type of waiting, but is an active and vigilant type of waiting. This is the kind of waiting that those who served in the armed forces are very aware of. It's the type of waiting that is a state of readiness. You see, when one is in combat or before they go into combat, they might very well be waiting around. They're not in a combat situation at that time, but they are always at to be in the ready. For in any moment, they might be attacked. For in any moment, they might have to go to combat. They are in a state of readiness. In other words, they are prepared. And that's the idea that we have within this passage. It is an actively observing the type of situations in the world in which we live, and all we have to do is look at the current news and look at the world in which we live, and certainly perilous times are not just coming, they are here, right? And so we know that we are in the last days. We know that we are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. We are actively observing situations. We are ready to take action as soon as we receive the command, if you will, from our Commander-in-Chief. In fact, we really already have received the command. It's called the Great Commission, right? And even today, as we watched that video, we were reminded of testimonies of those who are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are going into places of danger at times, but they are going because they feel this call to action. And because they have a call to action and they understand they have a great commission, they are at the ready and they are on the move to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Because they're not even waiting for a command, they are actively pursuing the command that they have been given. We as followers of Jesus Christ are soldiers, right, of the cross. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We ought to be in a state of readiness. We ought to actively be observing the situations that are taking place. We ought to be actively waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And in that state of readiness, we have a state of prayerfulness. We have a state of activity as He's calling us about His purpose and His plan for our life. See, we are waiting and we are praying with anticipation, looking for Jesus' return. I love what Titus 2 verse 13 says about this truth. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus Christ, we look forward to that day when we shall see Jesus Christ face to face. It is our hope. It is our salvation. It is our redemption. We are to keep waiting. Notice also that as we are to keep waiting for the glorious appearing of Jesus for the second time, we are also, notice, as we have already referenced a little bit, we are to keep working. We are to keep working. Notice in our passage that we see an emphasis on working. In this passage, we see that there's a story of a man that leaves his household to travel to a far country, and he leaves his servants with certain expectations. He gives authority to his servants and trusts them to carry out the responsibilities that he has given them. Each servant, according to this passage, has responsibilities. Each servant knows the work that is being done. Each servant has been entrusted by the master to carry out the plan. Now, of course, there'll be a great temptation for those servants to be lazy, to slack off because the master has gone away. But the good and the faithful and the trustworthy servant continues to work while their master is away because they anticipate his return. And so they don't want to be lazy and slacking when the return of the master takes place, not having done what was entrusted to them, not having fulfilled their responsibility. But when the master is away, the faithful, trustworthy servant is at work to carry out the responsibilities in which they have been entrusted. In this passage, we have a reference to our master, right? Our master is Jesus, and certainly he has gone away, if you will, to a farther country, meaning heaven. He has ascended back to the Father. He is in heaven preparing a place for us. We're reminded that he will return. Thankfully, he has left us the Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us. He has given us the command and the responsibility to work until he returns. But we have the option of how we are going to carry out his call upon our lives. Are we going to be the lazy servant that just sits around and does not carry out the commission and the call upon our life? Or are we going to be the faithful servant? And someday we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Reminded that the master is away, if you will, that he has entrusted us to carry out his work. He has entrusted us with a sacred responsibility. And he calls us to labor for the Lord. I love what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says about this truth. It goes on to say, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Follower of Jesus Christ, I wonder if you're in a time of discouragement. I wonder if you're in a dry spell. I wonder if you are feeling moments of despair. But I point you to Scripture such as this, understanding and being reminded to continue to stay steadfast, continue to be immovable, continue to labor for the Lord, for your work is not in vain in the Lord. Carry out the responsibilities, whatever they may be, in which He has entrusted you to carry out. Oh, we are to keep waiting, an active type of waiting. We are to keep working. And then notice this, we are to keep watching according to our text. Notice that throughout our text we see the emphasis on being watchful. We don't know when the master is returning. It could be evening, it could be midnight, it could be morning. And it could be very easy to become sleepy, if you will. But we can be lulled to sleep by distractions. We can be lulled to sleep by the spiritual enemy that is coming our way, with the temptations that he brings our way. All of these things can make us dull spiritually. All of these things can hamper our abilities to serve the Lord. But as a good soldier is watching and is ready, so we are called to keep watching. Believers in Christ, we're continue to walk in faith, as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 references. Regardless of the distraction, regardless of the deception that the enemy brings our way, no matter what we face, we are reminded in this passage and we are called to watch with anticipation for His return. Jesus is coming soon, and we are called to be ready. I love what Revelations 22, verses 20 through 21 remind us of. In fact, just a little time ago, we were camped out in Revelations chapter 21, weren't we? Well, Revelation 22, which follows, obviously, Revelation chapter 21, goes on to say that he who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Reminds me of a song that the Gaithers sing. I love the Gaithers. I love Southern Gospel. Listen to the lyrics of this wonderful song by the Gaithers called "The King is Coming." Notice this. Goes on to say, "The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors, in the courtroom no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, He is coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that He has mended, those from prison He has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow, who are crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, The King is coming. Praise God, He is coming for me. I can hear the church rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven grandstands all in place. Heaven's choir now assembled start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He is coming for me. Therefore, we need to keep waiting. We need to keep working. We need to keep watching. Let us pray. Father, as we come to this portion of the service, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have come to celebrate the King's arrival, first as a baby boy that was brought forth and delivered and actually slept in a manger. What an amazing concept that is for us to think about. And so we certainly celebrate that, and we'll celebrate that all throughout the season. But we're reminded as a follower of Jesus Christ that that's not the end of the story. That you have a future plan in store, and you desire a wonderful plan for our life. Lord, as we just think about and ponder your message, we're reminded, O Lord, that while the King is coming, it is a reminder, O Lord, that everybody in every place of every tribe and every tongue has been offered the free gift of salvation by placing their faith and trust in this baby boy named Jesus, who was born, but who was fully human, but was also fully God, who came, O Lord, for the purpose to carry out the Father's plan. And though He was born as a baby, He was King. And we're reminded, O Lord, that through salvation and placing faith in Jesus Christ, we have a promise that we will be with that King someday, face to face for all eternity. So Lord, right now, we're asking, O Father, that if there is one that has not received this gift of salvation, that during this time of invitation, during this altar call, as we like to call it, that they will simply respond and receive the free gift of salvation. Lord, there might be one here today that has received the good news of Jesus Christ, but maybe they're going through some difficult times. Maybe they're going through distress. Maybe they're going through despair. Maybe they are distracted by the temptations of life. Oh, Lord, remind us that we have been called to anticipate the King coming again. We have been called to wait with expectation, but with urgency and alertness. We have been called, O Father, to work and to watch. And Lord, as I think of that important truth, we're reminded that when it comes down to it, Lord, it's all about people. It's all about souls. So Lord, during this time of invitation, maybe you're laying on our hearts someone in our life that needs King Jesus to come into their life. So we're praying, O Father, that if there's a person that is laid upon our heart, that we will simply, O Lord, with your help and with your strength, O Father, point them to Jesus, we do pray. So however we need to respond to your message that has been given today through your word, we pray, O Father, that we will respond in obedience to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, who we desire to honor and glorify with our lives. This we do pray in Jesus' name.